Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, August 28th, 2015. I beg your pardon, it's Friday, August 28th. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. Mozambican President Philip Nyusi officially opens the Harare Agricultural Show as some agriculturalists say the show has lost its touch due to the current harsh socio-economic situation.
Those linkages are not inexistent. It is very difficult to have a product that we want.
The MDCT says Zimbabwe urgently needs a stimulus package to boost the country's faltering economy.
The stimulus package is absolutely necessary. The difficulty actually arises out of the lack of confidence which is generated by the existing government.
And civil society groups in Bulawayo today launched a campaign against prepaid water meters that the city council is planning to install.
The prepaid water meter system is not good for Bulawayo residents and any other resident in Zimbabwe or in any other location in Zimbabwe.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi says his country will benefit immensely if Zimbabwean farmers are allowed to buy some land in that country for commercial purposes. President Nyusi, who officially opened the Zimbabwe Agricultural Show in Harare today, is quoted by the state-controlled Herald newspaper as saying this would also deepen the two nations' relations back dating to the 1970s liberation struggles. President Mugabe thanked the Mozambican leader for gracing the event, one of the top agricultural shows in Zimbabwe. At least 460 exhibitors showcased their produce at the show, which ends tomorrow. Speaking while touring the exhibition grounds, First Lady Grace Mugabe told journalists that her Kushungo Holdings, which produces various milk products, has 3,000 cattle and continues importing breeding stock. Some agriculturalists, like Roger Mpande, say the show has lost its touch due to the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe.
Generally, an agricultural show is held under the auspices that you have all stakeholders involved. Stakeholders, the value chain stakeholders, agricultural producers, the equipment, input suppliers, trade links within the country, outside the country. So it's that unison that you are supposed to see among stakeholders, which is then supposed to create the final product that you are looking at. It is the linkages that we are supposed to have. Now, if those linkages are not inexistent, it is very difficult to have a product that we want. So I find it difficult for us to then improve on our agricultural trade production and many other processes if we don't have the stakeholders linked up in full unison.
Now, looking at what is happening in Zimbabwe, can you safely say maybe this is a waste of time? And if it is a waste of time, what can you advise those that are organizing such events?
It is difficult for me to advise the agricultural show organizers, but it's best for me to go back to the policymakers themselves, who are supposed to then turn around the whole economic situation, mainly in the agricultural system, so that the agricultural shows make sense.
That was agriculturalist Roger Mpande speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. The Movement for Democratic Change formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai is calling for a stimulus package to boost the country's faltering economy. Saddled with a debt overhang of more than $8 billion, the MDCT says the country can only move forward if new money is injected into the economy. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The MDCT's Economic Affairs Secretary, Webber Chinyadza, told a news conference at his party's Harvest House headquarters in the capital today that Zimbabwe's national economic output has not surpassed a high recorded in 1972 before the country attained its independence, a situation he blamed on President Robert Mugabe's poor governing policies. Chinyadza said the ruling ZANU-PF government has failed to come up with sound economic policies, adding that Zimbabwe now needs a stimulus package to revitalize its productive sectors of the economy that are operating far beyond capacity.
The stimulus package is absolutely necessary. The difficulty actually arises out of the lack of confidence which is generated by the existing government. They don't inspire any confidence to the international community who can actually put together a stimulus package on our behalf.
Noting that the country's economy is agro-based, the opposition official says it is disheartening that authorities allocated a paltry sum of money to the agricultural sector in this year's cropping season budget to finance irrigation schemes at a time when rainfall patterns have changed due to climate change.
A significant number of irrigation projects are moribund. To allocate a mere $1.6 million for irrigation schemes in a nation beset with drought problems is criminal, to say the least.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo, who said he was attending the official opening of the Harare Agricultural Show, where Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi was officiating. However, President Robert Mugabe told Zimbabweans in his State of the Nation address that Zimbabwe's economy was poised for a major takeoff in keeping with the country's economic blueprint, Zim Asset, promising that his government was going to prioritize value addition on agricultural products and enacting policies that promote and attract foreign direct investment. Former government chief economist Masimba Manyanya says more needs to be done before Zimbabwe gets a stimulus package.
The stabilization package from the IMF and the World Bank, we all know when these things started in 1990, we ended up in real serious trouble. Stabilization packages have to be well designed. A stabilization package is something that normally comes into an economy when you have ensured that you have developed the core sectors of the economy and you can protect them from the harsh effects of market reform. Market reform always comes with very, very difficult precedents. And where we are right now, if you were to ask me, we have to sort out the political variables, the political governance issues.
Meanwhile, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa yesterday pleaded for a cash bailout from the World Bank, saying Zimbabwe has not received a single cent from the Bretton Woods institution in the last 10 years. But Guang Zhengchen, the World Bank's country director for 7 Southern African countries, including Zimbabwe, told Chinamasa that the Zimbabwean government needed to demonstrate that it is serious in addressing the macroeconomic and investment challenges that the country is facing. Some foreign investors are reportedly shunning Zimbabwe because they are not happy with the black empowerment regulations that compel all foreign-owned businesses to cede at least 51% of their shareholding to black Zimbabweans. Manyanya says government also needs to ensure that investors' money is safe in Zimbabwe.
Such a request can only be made in the context of a certain of some political values. You can't just start asking for a bailout, a cash bailout from the World Bank at a time when you have been shouting at the very same people. So I always go back to the issue of alignment between our political values and what we see as the issues that directly affect our economic livelihood.
Zimbabwe's external debt overhang is hovering at $8.4 billion and the country has failed to clear its arrears in order to access fresh lines of credit to service its economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Civil society groups in Bulawayo today launched a campaign against the prepaid water meters that the city council is planning to install. More than 20 organizations are taking part in the so-called Right to Water campaign. They argue that the water meters are a recipe for disaster. Organizers who crisscrossed the city in a procession of cars plastered with anti-prepaid water posters have scheduled weekend meetings with residents in all the city's constituencies ahead of a march on September 4. Participants include the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association, Habakuk Trust, Abameli Human Rights Lawyers, and many more. VOA reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached one of the organizers, Meli Dube, for more details.
We do not understand, again, what problem they are solving, because we believe that if they were to come and say the water management, maybe their challenges with dealing, their challenges with this, then they could explore other means. But there hasn't been that conversation. There has been just imposition of this kind of policy.
In very basic terms, Mr. Dube, can you explain why the prepaid water system is not good for the city of Bulawayo?
The water meter system is not good for Bulawayo residents and any other resident in Zimbabwe or in any other location in Zimbabwe. Because one, those prepaid water meters are basically privatization of water. So there is privatization of a social commodity. A social good is now being made a commodity that people have to buy. What happens is that you are taking away the social capital. People generally have a right to water, and there are international standards, which our councils, most of them, even the Bulawayo Council, have not been meeting in terms of providing adequate water.
That was Meli Dube, one of the organizers of the Rights to Water campaign, on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, civic rights group Women of Zimbabwe Arise, WOZA, says it's waiting for a clarification from the Bulawayo City Council on why it is going against its previous decision that it will not remove vendors from the streets and confiscate their goods following the group's recent demonstrations in the city. However, Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo told Studio 7 that the local authority reiterates that it will stand by the vendors until the ongoing process of allocating them vending bays is complete, since they are struggling to make ends meet. But WOZA leader Magodongo Mahlangu, who says most of their members are vendors, tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga vendors' wares are still being confiscated in the city, and her organization needs an explanation before taking the local authority to the Constitutional Court.
We also would ask for audit of stands, because we feel that there are people who are owning multiple stands, and then also, it's unfair because they're subleasing or they're renting to the next person at a higher price. And then he responded with a letter saying he's totally with us, he's against of any violation of vendors' rights. But to our surprise, we saw the RRP looking, working hand in hand with the municipal police. So on Wednesday, we went to the mayor to ask for this, to clarify these things. They say, in fact, he was giving a press conference. They said no one could speak to us.
We spoke to the Bulawayo mayor, who says your organization gave him a yellow card over the vending issue and warned him that a red card will follow. What is the implication of this, and what are you going to do next?
It's a quote from the football match. So we gave him an opportunity to say, explain, tell us who has given these orders for the looting and what has changed from your saying you are spending with the people. And secondly, we want transparency and accountability. Where are the looted goods going? And thirdly, how are you expecting your citizens of Bulawayo to be contemplating bills to city council and VESA if there's no source of income? Those are the things. So the next time we're taking red card, it's a constitutional matter, because it's a violation of the right and a living. A lot of people approach it and say, look, their vending association that they belong to are asking them to pay $10 every day so that they will not be checked from where they are vending. We're saying to the mayor, please clarify to us as to where are these $10 going? But these people are now coming to us saying, look, whether there is this corruption.
That was WOZA leader Magodongo Mahlangu on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. The Labour Amendment Act continues to elicit mixed opinion 2 days after it was signed into law by President Mugabe, with one Labour expert saying the law leaves a sour taste in the mouth and opens possible floodgates for litigation by employers. The amendment was hastily pushed through Parliament to force employers to pay benefits to terminated workers. But Labour analyst Davis Ndumiso Sbanda tells Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo in the short term the law may benefit the workers, but adds it doesn't augur well for the economy in the long run.
What it means is that everybody who has terminated on notice qualifies for a retrenchment package. So those employers who terminated on notice and the labor actually offered an agreement of some sort will have to pay the workers a package of 2 weeks' salary for every year went. And following the words of the Act itself, it actually says 1 month's salary for every 2 years served, which means for those who have served less for fractions of a year, it would actually have to be on a pro rata basis. But I also foresee a number of employers refusing to pay because there is a legal argument that the applying of the law in retrospect is actually unconstitutional, because at the time the employers terminated people notice, that was the law and it was fair, and it is therefore leaving the other party at a disadvantage. And that is the argument that the employers are likely to raise, to say the Constitution actually talks about equality before the law of the parties. So we might see a lot of litigation going on at the expense of the economy as a result of the new amendments.
And if employers should go back to court to challenge this law as you foresee, do you think they stand a better chance?
My view on that is that the prospects of success are there, depending on each case. As I have said earlier on, not everybody, every employer qualified to terminate employees on notice. So depending on the circumstances of the case, for some cases, the prospects of success are likely going to be there. Short term, there are some benefits, but long term, my reading of the amendment bill is that it leaves a sour taste in the mouth.
That there was labor expert Davis Ndumiso Sbanda on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Blessing Zulu speaks with Andy Brown and Chiwoniso Maraire's daughter, Chengeto.
I am into music. It's something I'm working on right now.
We know Amara is recording. Any of your siblings recording too?
No. At the moment, it's just Amara and I that are really pushing on it.
But first, a look at regional and international news. Social media giant Facebook said it reached an unprecedented milestone this week, with 1 billion people using the site in a single day. South Sudan's President Salva Kiir has ordered the army to halt all military operations ahead of a full-scale ceasefire that goes into effect tomorrow. Some political commentators have described as reckless and divisive remarks by First Lady Grace Mugabe that no one can stop her in the ruling party, currently riddled with factionalism. Mrs. Mugabe made the remarks yesterday at Murombe's Growth Point in Mashonaland West, where she also boasted of having played a key role in the expulsion of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was accused by the party of attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe before the 2014 ZANU-PF Elective Congress. Political commentator George Mkwananzi tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube such remarks are a dent on the First Lady, who is supposed to be a pillar of Zimbabwe as the president's wife.
Those are very irresponsible comments coming from the mother of the nation, the First Lady. We expect somebody in her position to be very responsible, to be the anchor of the presidency, because we know there are so many stresses, there are so many forces that may act upon the person of the president, and we expect him to be, you know, anchored by his wife. But if you hear a wife who speaks in such a reckless way and even a boasting that she can do and say anything about anyone, anywhere, without anybody, you know, stopping her, those are very irresponsible remarks.
But is there anyone who can stand up to her and say, this is enough?
According to the way the power structure of Zimbabwe is, put in place, it's impossible to have anyone to do that within ZANU-PF. Because she speaks with the tacit approval of the president, and it is only the president who will stop her, who will call her to order. Anybody else, if they say anything to the wife of the president, then it will be taken like they are attacking the person of the president.
That was George Mkwananzi, a political commentator, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. Studio 7 also spoke with ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma, who is also a member of Parliament for Pelandaba Mpopoma constituency, for his take on the First Lady's comments.
We are a law-abiding country with a constitution, and in that constitution, which gives every Zimbabwean the right to freedom of speech. So if that right is being given, it is given to from the least person that you can think of to the highest person in the land that you can also think of. So our First Lady, because she's Zimbabwean, she also falls under the same constitution. So she definitely has that right and the freedom to say whatever she wants. So when she does that, she's within the context of the law. She's within the parameters of the law. So there's nothing wrong with that. She is allowed to say whatever she wants to say, just like anybody else in Zimbabwe is allowed to say whatever they want to say, including even if you look at our journalism fraternity.
What about the First Lady boasting that she actually played a role in the sacking of Vice President Joseph Mjuru? Can she go around boasting about that? Do you think that's fair?
Personally, there's nothing wrong. We're doing that according to my view. I'll give you an example. If I know that there is a thief that is troubling us and I become the whistleblower or I cause for the thief's arrest, I'll definitely go around boasting and saying, I made that thief to be arrested. So does it apply to probably somebody that I think is not doing their job properly, or they're not, or maybe they're engaged in corrupt tendencies or anything like that?
That was ZANU-PF lawmaker and Central Committee member Joseph Chuma speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. And in sports news, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League race enters week 21 this weekend, with all the top teams working on a tight rope. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
Not a single of the top four placed teams have an easy task, with leaders chicken in the hardest pressed as they face neighbors Highlanders. Both the two teams' coaches, Joe Antipas for chicken in and Bongani Mafu for Highlanders, are under pressure after losing their games last weekend. For Mafu, another defeat will not do him well after the events that took center stage at Ascot Stadium last Sunday. Mafu had to be escorted out of the stadium by riot police after his team's fans ran amok after a 1-0 defeat to Wawa. Another defeat, especially at Barberfield Stadium, is unlikely to be taken lightly by his team's impatient horde of followers who are desperate for a win. Mafu says against the Gamecocks, he is playing for 3 points and win back the backing of his team's supporters.
We need to play this game for the 3 points to pick up the support and get the people behind us.
However, Antipas has put behind his team's 1-0 defeat to Wange and says his mind is focused on the Islanders' match.
What we need to do is just go back to the drawing board, keep our heads up and go and fight in the next game.
Second place Triangle also have a tall order as they travel to Mandava Stadium to face Norman Mapeza's FC Platinum, who are unbeaten in 12 matches. However, Dynamos are at home, but also against a strong Haumine side, whose coach Luke Masomere sarcastically says they found themselves in the league title race when they were just playing for fun.
I think there's now also a bit of pressure in terms of the position that we are found in on the log standing. We are now within reach of the leading pack, and you'll find that it's like now we are fighting for championship, whilst we are just playing for fun and enjoying.
On the other hand, Dynamo's coach Tony Raindiraya is looking for nothing less than victory as his team seeks a fifth consecutive league championship.
It's going to be a very tough assignment, but we've got to take it head on. This is football. We are Dynamos. We've got to be very strong if we want to stay with the top teams there at the top.
Inconsistent Capes United travel to Ascot Stadium for a date with Chapungu, and under fire coach Mark Martin knows the importance of winning this game.
It's a difficult game, but our statistics has been good, to say the least, when we go for games outside Harare. We're looking to go out there and get a positive result. It's going to be a tough assignment, but we need to stand up and be counted and start winning games.
The other matches lined up for the weekend are as follows. ZPC Kariba versus Wawa, Wange versus Harare City, Buffaloes versus Flame Lily, Dongoso Mills versus Cholocho Pirates. After the games, the league will take a break to pave way for the Warriors' Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Guinea set for the National Sports Stadium on September 6. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. Tonight in our entertainment segment, we bring you an exclusive interview our reporter Blessing Zulu did with the US-based upcoming musician Chengeto Brown, the daughter of the late top musician Andy Brown and Chiwoniso Maraire, who was also a popular artist. Chengeto says she's following in the footsteps of her famous parents and grandparents by taking up a musical career.
Chengeto, thanks for joining us this evening.
Absolutely, absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay, let me start by confirming this. The lyrics in one of my favorite songs by Andy Brown, he sings, Chengeto Mwanangu Zwandineza. Was that about you?
I would hope so. I am the only Chengeto daughter that he has. Yes, it was. It was about me.
Tell us, what have you been doing yourself? Are you into music?
Yes, I am into music. It's something I'm working on right now.
We know Amara is recording. Any of your siblings recording too?
No, to my knowledge at least. At the moment, it's just Amara and I that are really pushing on it.
You are now based in the U.S. What has been occupying you apart from music, of course?
Well, just finishing high school last year. Right now, it's more so just working and then looking into starting college next year.
What do you intend to study?
Study music more to just get a better basis, as I am pushing to start, you know, an actual career in music.
Of course, both your parents were accomplished musicians. Who would you say influenced you more?
Both of them.
You said you are working on some songs. What kind of music are you focusing on?
Honestly, I would say I'm just dabbling in everything, really. Because of my parents, I don't really believe in boxing myself up. So I'm really touching base in everything, you know. And also because I've been back and forth between Zimbabwe and the States so much, you tell, you know, the future when I do put out some of these projects that I'm working on, that I'm definitely touching the aspects of, you know, integrating like Zimbabwean music and the American music together to just kind of make one sound.
So are you working as a solo artist or you have a group that you're working with?
I work as a solo artist right now.
There is a song that you said you are currently working on. You said it's called If I.
Memories fade, in my head you stay. How did it get this way? Can you explain?
Thanks, Blessing. That was, of course, US-based musician Chengeto Brown speaking to Blessing Zulu. And that's it for tonight. But before I go, a quick recap of today's top stories. Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi officially opens the Harare Agricultural Show. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.